Welcome to another episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, March 29th. This latest episode centers around an article publishing in the April issue of the journal Oncology, and it's titled Messenger RNA Vaccines Beckoning of a New Era in Cancer Immunotherapy. The article touches on the recent development of mRNA vaccines approved to combat COVID-19 and how this development offers optimism for the future of mRNA to treat patients with cancer. The author, Dr. Mehmet Sidki Kapoor of the University of Nebraska Medical Center, broke down the basics of mRNA, its history, challenges, and potential opportunities around this relatively new class of vaccine. Dr. Kapoor, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast to speak with me about your work. I really just wanted to start with a general background of messenger RNA vaccines or mRNA vaccines. You know, what are they, and could you give a little bit of a history about them?
Sure. Thank you, Matthew. It's my pleasure. This has been a very timely and popular topic with the recent COVID infection. Messenger RNA has become the highlight of a lot of publications and even in the regular media news. Basically, it's different from our traditional vaccines that we have known. And in messenger RNA vaccine, there is a synthetically made messenger RNA encoding for a protein. And this is built and that is put into a cell, and the cell makes the protein encoded by that messenger RNA, and the immune system develops antibodies and immune response to these. So in a simple way, that's what messenger RNA vaccine is.
And so you mentioned in your research, and we'll get to a more kind of centered summary of your research, but could you talk briefly first about what the mechanism of action is for mRNA vaccination?
Yes, and this is something very fascinating, and it goes back to historically, it goes back to 1990s. And interestingly, during my fellowship at the National Cancer Institute, we were also playing with the messenger RNAs and working on a colon cancer small molecule. We were trying to find there was an interaction between messenger RNA of the thymidylate synthetase protein enzyme, and that was shutting down the translation. What I learned during my fellowship at National Cancer Institute, RNA was so fragile, so sensitive, even we had to wear gloves in the lab, we had to keep them on dry ice, and there is ubiquitous RNases in our hands, in everywhere. RNases are very, very unstable, and that's why research has delayed on it, as opposed to DNA, has become a tool for criminal investigation. It's almost indestructible, but RNA is just the opposite. And the original work goes to 1990s, and Wisconsin researchers published something in the Journal of Science, a very prestigious journal. They reported the first, the proof of concept study that RNA and DNA expression vectors containing genes for chloramphenicol acetyl transferase, luciferase, and beta galactosidase were injected into the mouse skeletal muscle in vivo. And the protein expression in the muscles were readily detected. That was like a proof of concept study. Right. And later on, they also showed that the injection of the vasopressin RNA also created a response. And if you look at their original science article, the title of the article was Direct Gene Transfer into Mouse Muscle in Vivo. And this is quite interesting because I see that the criticism about the recent coronavirus vaccine, they call it gene therapy, not vaccine. And there are some other ramifications. I will go into that during the talk. But this was back then interesting, and nobody paid big attention. That was 1990, August of 1990. After 15 more years, Dr. Carrico and Weissman reported an effective way to evade the innate immune response by modifying the messenger RNA. So the original work was not paid attention by many, including the pharmaceutical companies, because it was easily destroyable and it was not lasting long. And also these messenger RNAs or DNAs produced an immune response. So nobody bothered with it. It was an interesting paper in Science Journal, right? And today I talk to my colleagues and say that, you know, the silver lining after this COVID-19 infection that we are going through, the pandemic, the only good thing about it, it brought the attention to messenger RNA work, as well as the regulatory work was stimulated by the desperate need to come up with something. So it alleviated a lot of regulatory stuff and supplied the funding to improve the research. And in my mind, thanks to COVID pandemic, we possibly jumped 10 years ahead during the research, because until the two COVID infection vaccines, we had no messenger RNA or encode gene therapy approvals in any drugs by FDA. So now we have two, which proves the safety. So coming to your question, what is the mechanism of action of messenger RNA vaccine? So if you think about those two approved by the FDA, Moderna vaccine and the BioNTech vaccine, so they take a piece of RNA of the protein that COVID virus has, which is the spike protein, and applying this messenger RNA technology, they put a 5' untranslated region at the beginning, then open reading frame of that spike protein, and there's the 3' untranslated region and poly A tail. So that's the messenger RNA. And if you try to give it to the cells, to the humans or the mouse models, they get destroyed. And that was the biggest hurdle past two decades, that they could not use the messenger RNA effectively as a vaccine or as a gene therapy. Then with the advances with the lipid nanoparticles, they figured a way to get them into a protective cover with the lipid nanoparticles and get them inside the cell. So the current two messenger RNA vaccines approved by FDA is a piece of messenger RNA encoding the spike protein of COVID virus encapsulated by a lipid nanoparticle. The same concept, why I'm excited about this will make a giant leap for cancer research. Then when you can think about it, if we can identify the tumor-associated antigens, and we can make messenger RNAs coding for that antigens, and if we can awaken the immune system against the cancer antigens, that will open a huge new era of cancer immunotherapy, as well as recent big leaps we had with the PD-1 antibodies and other approaches like CAR T-cell approaches.
And so I'm glad you brought that up, the idea about this really kind of impacting the way cancer is treated, because you recently authored an article for the Journal Oncology talking just about these things. And I was hoping to really take a step back and ask you, you know, what kind of motivated you to write an article about this? And what about the mRNA vaccines kind of make it a promising alternative looking forward?
Yes, and thank you for alluding to it. And this is my passion. And when I saw the coronavirus messenger RNA vaccines approved by FDA, two of them like 10 days apart, I remembered my fellowship days at the National Cancer Institute. And this was my dream back then. And unfortunately, I couldn't go back to basic science. I did mostly my remaining years in clinical oncology. So it immediately brought back the memories that we were trying so hard with the playing with the RNA molecule, even we did have at the National Cancer Institute back then. It's exactly the same times, everything started 1990s, that we had an RNA club, and all the researchers at National Cancer Institute would get together on Wednesdays. I believe we would share our research findings about the RNA. Back then, people thought that, oh, this is the dead end, there's nothing in the RNA, you cannot do much with it, because it's easily so fragile that, as I mentioned earlier, I had to wear gloves to in the lab, and then we had to keep everything on dry ice, you could easily lose them. And turns out that as the technology moves on, and they discovered the ways to put these RNAs in lipid nanoparticle or lipoplexes or polyplexes that kind of created a huge breakthrough that, and at that point, then the pharmaceutical industry got involved too, and it stimulated the research. But until the COVID infection, everything was still phase one or mostly mouse model research going on. And when I saw the coronavirus-related two vaccines approved by FDA, I couldn't help getting excited. Wow, this was possibly the best thing that happened, as much as a disaster it was, the COVID infection. But this was the silver lining, because I don't think that we would have any FDA approval for human use for any messenger RNA therapeutics if it was not for the COVID infection. Number one, there was a huge demand and desperation that we need to do something. Number two, the funding that the money poured in. And then number three, we were able to use the prior experience, but the prior experience was labeled as gene therapy. And when you use that gene therapy category, the regulatory burden is way more if you use the vaccine category and the urgency. So it was like a godsend development that happened. And remembering my struggle with the clinical oncology cases, that we need something more. And there has been big strides within the past 10 years with the CAR T cell and the PD-1 antibodies in immunotherapy. But this will be another huge, big impact, because now we have safety data. So that means you can use the messenger RNA, and it will facilitate all the other preliminary researches already going on. And there is, as all oncology world knows, that tumor-associated antigens, they can happen as an individual level, or there are some tumors we all know from our CAR T-cell and PD-1 experience, tumor mutational burden, lung cancers, melanomas, kidney cancers. These tumors are notorious to have mutations, and they do possibly, our original research, I'm thinking, will focus on these tumors because they have more tumor-associated antigens than most of the cancers. And I'm assuming that when we do the clinical trials on this setting, it will involve these tumors first. But also, as the genetic instability of the tumors accumulates as the time goes on, tumors develop these individual tumor-associated antigens due to mutations happening. And that's one another reason I'm excited, that there was already research going on, but it was in mouse models, and it was possibly to the most in phase one trials. Now I can see that with the approval of FDA, messenger RNA safety part is taken care of, and this will facilitate the future research.
So looking ahead with mRNA, what kind of challenges do you foresee with implementing this type of vaccination process into common practice, especially with a focus on cancer patients, and especially, you know, as we're still in a pandemic, so there's still limitations to what we can do. So how do you see some of these challenges coming? Yeah.
The biggest challenge all over the two decades has been the instability of the messenger RNA molecule. Mm-hmm. And that has been recent breakthrough with this lipid nanoparticles, that they can improve the delivery. So the biggest challenge is the in vivo delivery of messenger RNA into the cells. Originally, the proof of concept trial was just naked or unprotected RNA. They just injected to the mouse muscle. But it not only necessarily worked that way, but also it creates an innate immune reaction to it. So several techniques has been developed over the past two decades. And one of the techniques to alleviate this obstacle has been the use of polyplex vector. And the other more recent delivery system most commonly used, and it's also part of this COVID-19 vaccine too, lipid nanoparticle vector. So research into using lipids to deliver small interfering RNAs to cells has become the foundation for similar research for messenger RNA. And I was earlier saying that it was initially not very much paid attention. RNA was such a frail thing, and they discovered those small RNAs or micro RNAs or small interfering RNAs, siRNAs. They're rather a small size of nucleic acids, but they were able to reverse or shut down some translation process. And even FDA approved in 2018, FDA approved a small RNA related medication for a genetic disorder. So that research was already there. And when they decided to get the messenger RNA vaccine, which is a longer nucleotide sequence, this lipid nanoparticle research came into play, and it improved over the decades, but it's also still in the stages that we need to make more inventions, in that you have to have larger molecules to be put into the lipid nanoparticles and be able to function as encoding messenger RNA molecules. So nanoparticles was possibly the big breakthrough, as well as the discovery of the messenger RNA vaccines.
And so you've provided a ton of valuable information on mRNA vaccination, but simply put, I guess for somebody listening to this podcast, what significance should they take, and why is mRNA vaccine technology so important?
It is, compared to other technologies we have, much more safe, much more fast and scalable, or they can turn into like a mass production. Mm-hmm. And then it is again, much more pure. And it is, the trick is to find the best delivery method. And there was an article nicely utilizing the title saying that all is the matter of delivery. And it's two cents that COVID vaccine in that case was delivery. Also, you know that those two vaccines has to be kept at minus 40, minus 20 degrees. Mm-hmm. And that's one delivery problem that nationally, but the real delivery problem is how do you deliver that into the cell and how do you make it work in the cell? And that comes into, there's a drug injection approach, and there has been also dendritic cell messenger RNA approach. Another challenge is, when you make your RNA and put in a lipid particle, it is one single nucleic acid strand. Mm-hmm. And it does its job. It produces the ribosomal protein translation. Then as a natural process in the immune, in our cells, they are destroyed. All the foreign nucleic material as an evolutionary protective mechanism in our bodies destroyed. And so if, depending on, again, what we don't know is how much of the messenger RNA is needed and how long and how durable it will be. And there are other technologies like self-amplifying messenger RNAs. There are some technology exploring that too. So as the time goes on, I believe that would be the second challenge. And the same challenge in COVID vaccine right now, you give it the spike protein messenger RNA, and we don't know, it's an evolving and moving target, how long that immunity will last, because either 3 microgram or 10 microgram in biotech and the Moderna vaccine, that microgram of RNA does the job and destroyed, and you produce the antibodies and immune, hopefully cellular immunity with T cells too. But once that immunity fades away, and then your nucleic acid is no longer there, it's destroyed, would there be a need for amplifying that messenger RNA on its own, so that that would give continued immunity and continued fight either against the virus or in the case of cancer, against the cancer? So that area possibly in the long run will be explored and evolve more.
And so you touched on this a little bit, but for maybe a researcher and an investigative team
who really want to explore more about mRNA, what kind of areas would you suggest that they focus on, whether it be in cancer or for this coronavirus?
Right. And again, I have to admit my specialty is oncology, and I don't want to pretend I'm an infectious disease expert at all. Right. But it's very exciting that we can use this mechanism to fight cancer. And in the cancer arena, the high tumor burden cancers, such as the lung cancer, the melanomas, and the kidney cancers. And I think that we could focus on them and come up with some sequences of the tumor-associated antigens and create a messenger RNA for them, and then find efficient delivery systems and give it to our cancer patients on a clinical trial setting. And I'm excited that now having the FDA approved human use for messenger RNA technology. And again, this is, I love the word vaccine as opposed to gene therapy, mm-hmm. which brings the escape from the regulatory bodies. Oh, you cannot do this ethics and this and that gene. Why the beauty of RNA is that it's well publicized by now with the vaccine. RNA does not get into the nucleus. So it's all in the cytosol, and it's destroyed after it serves its translational purpose. As opposed to if you were using DNA, there's a possibility they can go and integrate, and they have to be in the nucleus of the cell. And if then they have to come to cytosol, DNA, RNA translation, the protein sequence. There is always this fear, risk, and obstacle for the regulatory ethical base, gene therapy, and you will integrate some unknown gene into the people's gene, and you will create a problem. So that would take a lot more regulatory scrutiny, as opposed to when you say, hey, this is a messenger RNA, it doesn't have no access to DNA, no ethical issues there, and still, if you call it gene therapy, there will be a lot of, again, regulatory burden. But you say this is a vaccine, and already, thank God, the two messenger RNA vaccines approved in human use by FDA with the COVID, that will be a huge advantage. That's why I was so excited and write that article. And this is going to open doors for all oncology researchers working on messenger RNA technology. And I'm anticipating that the regulatory hurdles will be much less and funding will be more too. Again, if you look at it in the regular vaccine production without the messenger RNA technology, I believe it was 50 to 70% efficacy was a pass for FDA approval for any vaccine. And they would have expected that much from the messenger RNA coronavirus vaccine, and to everybody's surprise, the efficacy was 95% with BioNTech vaccine and 94% with the Moderna vaccine, which is unheard of. Mm-hmm. It speaks for itself. It shows you how much efficient and efficacious it is to use this technology, and it will hopefully apply to fighting against cancer too. And the other beauty of it is that it's easily mass producible, scalable, and pure and clean. The production of the BioNTech vaccine was altogether 22 days. And then most of those days were quality control. Mm-hmm. The making the RNA was only 2 days. They were able to produce it in 2 days. Mm-hmm. And this is so exciting that there's, and also the cost of it could be much less compared to traditional vaccine methods or other oncologic research vaccines. So there's a huge potential there, and I'm very excited that maybe this will be the benefit out of COVID pandemic, that we will make big strides in immuno-oncology.
So lastly, did you have any concluding comments or ideas that I haven't asked about regarding this area that you wanted to share?
Sure. My concluding comments are, within the past two decades, major achievements in the field of messenger RNA vaccines have created a safe, and attractive treatment option for a broad range of diseases, including cancer. So simplicity, high potency, capacity for rapid development, and potential for low cost manufacture, and the safe administration makes the messenger RNA vaccines a very promising alternative to our conventional treatments for cancer or infectious diseases. Mm-hmm. And we have to just hope that as the time goes on, we can improve on the technology, lipid part of it, nanoparticle delivery part of it, and we can create a new big weapon against cancer.
Dr. Kapoor, thank you so much for this conversation on mRNA vaccines. I really appreciate the insight, and I think our listeners will as well.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Make sure to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear from you, and we would love for you to let us know what you think and what you want to hear more about on this podcast. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com, and you can find our social medias on Twitter @CancerNetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn @CancerNetwork.